this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Johnny from The Horn, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
Tony, really lovely to be here. Thank you. And it's the first time I've ever spoken to someone on radio who's in the south of France. I'm in modest East London. I'm in Hackney.
Hackney, there's nothing wrong with Hackney. So you're from a band called The Horn. Why is it called The Horn?
Yeah, it's a great question. The first, Richard Engler, our shout out to him. He's the head of our label, Autonomy. And he, when we walked into the office, Nick, who founded the band, sort of said, yeah, it's going to be called The Horn. And Richard went, really? And that was sort of the start of a wonderful kind of back and forth. And the reason, in answer to your question, is that Nick used to just walk into the studio a lot in the last 2 years and just sort of say, hey, it's The Horn, because he was sort of, he's an unconventional, larger than life chap, for sure. Okay. And I think that that name probably just wormed its way into his brain and stuck there, and he just sort of pushed for it. And so, but yeah, we get all sorts of comments ranging from people absolutely loving it to people being like, you know, what the F triple asterisk is that? So it's, thank you for asking, because it is one of the main questions I get asked.
No problem. There you go. It's original anyway.
It's hopefully not forgettable.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got your debut album, People Like Us.
Yeah.
Which is 10 tracks of brilliant music. And your single Addicted to Love is out as well. That's good. You're supporting Scouting for Girls, which I'll talk about in a minute. So you're a busy bee, aren't you?
Yes, 100%, Tony. Thanks for, like, it's really it's been quite a crazy project. Like, it's sort of, last year we supported Star Sailor, which was really fun. And that was only for about 4 shows. But as I was just saying to a lovely girl in Manchester just now, it's been an extraordinary way to cut one's teeth, because I've been in another project called Montrell, who caught the attention of Sir Elton John, which was amazing. He has one of our vinyls at his house, and I sadly said goodbye to that project. But we used to tour a lot in Germany and Holland, and very modest sized venues, you know, sometimes in front of 10 people, sometimes in front of 50 if we were lucky. And that's one way of cutting your teeth, as you can imagine, as a band. But with The Horn, it's just suddenly, because of the label, they got us these support slots. And for the first time ever last year, I was playing in front of 2,000 people, and I was initially a bit of a deer in the headlights. But this year I feel a bit more prepared for it. So yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Amazing. What's it like touring like that? Is it hard work or?
Yeah, it's a great question. DIY tours are pretty hard work, because you're kind of, I remember, did 10 venues in Germany. None of them, you know, sort of had heard of us, or, you know, none of the, we didn't have a fact. This is a while back, this is 2019. We didn't have, this was with another band, but that didn't have, you know, much clout behind it. So you are working sometimes for your supper, or you're sometimes for your petrol. And so I suppose there's a real sense of satisfaction when you finish the tour and sort of, you've met the sort of resounding thing is then just the number of people you speak to. And in particular Germany, they're just so receiving of artists. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, Beyonce or an up and coming act, they're just very lovely to you. I highly recommend any bands listening. I highly recommend going on tour in Germany in particular.
Okay. Well, and lots of people historically have been there, haven't you? The Beatles and so on.
Exactly. That's a lovely appeal, I think, for the Hamburg, with the chairs being thrown at them and stuff like that.
Tell me about your single, which is called Addicted to Love. Somebody has described it as sweet and morbid.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's perfect. Nick's lyrics. So the interesting thing about this project, I think, is Nick's lyrics. I sort of tend to go towards the melody side of things. Danny in the studio goes, and he's the lead guitarist, he tends to he'll love your Studer, by the way. He's got a good Tascam. I can't remember which model, but he'd have a good chat with you if he was here about tape machines. He tends towards texture, and I help produce with him. And Nick kind of has the lyrical aspect. Yeah, morbid. What was the other adjective? Something and morbid.
Sweet.
Sweet and morbid. I think the first lines is my vision wasn't for turning. This dude was never for hire, but I remember the beautiful things, people, places, and every word. And as I was winning, the sun set on my dreamy mirage. Our brains live on when we die. So yeah, I guess the afterlife is probably in there. I sort of co-wrote some of that with Nick, but that initial section is kind of his stream of consciousness. And sometimes we're in the studio and we sort of think, is that absolute nonsense or is that brilliant? You know, we're sort of caught between two worlds of kind of looking at like what lyrics mean and trying to kind of ensnare people's minds a little bit. So yeah, Sweet and Morbid, I think, is perfect for Addicted to Love.
And which comes first when you're writing, the music or the lyrics?
It's a great question. I think for me, it's melody. And then I'm in search of, you know, the lyric for the chorus. Because I think you've got to hit people where it hurts. If you've got a really good melody, then it's nice to marry it up with a really good lyric as well. So for me, I think melody always comes first. It's very hard to write melody and lyrics all together at the same time. Or it's not hard at all. It's just instantaneous. But I don't think there's anywhere in between. I think you have to sort of write the melody and then you write the lyrics later on and fill in the blanks. It's that tricky second verse. You can write a chorus and then you write a verse one and then you go, oh, it's done. Oh no, I need a second verse. And then you can't sometimes write the lyrics sort of as good as what you've already done. You have to sort of try and better yourself.
Understand.
And not be cheesy and not be too dark and not be too this and not be too that. So
it's something something I could never do.
I disagree. I'm sure that, and you've got a great tape machine there to put some.
Well, I tell you, we should have a little listen to it, don't you?
Brilliant.
This is The Horn on Music Stories and their new single Addicted to Love. We'll just play a few seconds of it. Tell you what, I'm listening to that in my studio here in the south of France on a nice pair of headphones, and the production is superb. I love it.
Tony, thank you. That really means a lot. And it's really, Danny will in particular, and Danton, the producer, will be, and myself in particular, will be very pleased that you're listening to it with the proper gear, because we recorded that at Rack Studios a few moments after Paul McCartney just left. the building, and it was an honor to be there. And Danton Supple, who he's done like Coldplay and the Proclaimers and Morrissey, he's done a lot of big acts, and that's why it sounds like that. So thank you for I'll tell him he'll be pleased that you said that.
No, absolutely, it does sound superb, lovely sound. I may have to play it on my radio show.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Okay, how did you guys get together very briefly? Because that's always an interesting thing. You know, people meet down the pub, or you know, they advertise for a drummer or something like that. How did you lot get together?
Yeah. I've never done. I've always kind of wanted to do that. Actually, just write on a poster board in a pub. You know,
it used to be Melody Maker in the day, wasn't it? But Melody Maker, the paper,
a little section in Melody. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. That always makes me think as well of those. I think a make that Paul McCartney used was Melody Maker, I think. The way that we got together was that I was in a previous band with Danny, who sort of co-produces with me and Nick. And he has a studio underground in Baker Street under a cobbled street called Chagford Street, beautiful street, underneath lots of projects have started. And Danny called me up sort of during lockdown, sort of tricky interstitial periods of time where we were allowed to sort of work and it was a bit unsure. And he sort of said, I've got this project. And Nick, this guy who he'd met through a local friend, because in the Marylebone area, had sort of suggested Nick to go and speak to Danny. Danny's a fantastic engineer and he's close to my age than Nick is. And Nick was writing lyrics in 1986 when I was born. So that was a very interesting, just sort of kind of strange uniqueness to that. Mm. And his it's like a time capsule, sort of singing some of his lyrics that he wrote in the 80s. And so I initially just came along as a session singer, Tony. And then I basically just, then we brought off, I brought my friend Alex in, who also knew Danny, and Danny brought his keyboard friend Ed in, who's a fantastic singer in his own right. And they're really great musicians. So it sort of started as a studio project, which was seemingly not anything. It was just sort of realizing some stuff that Nick wanted to do. But it's very much Nick's band. He's the sort of leader of the band, even though I'm the front man. So he's graciously allowed me to go and front the radio interviews. Then it sort of escalated and we got with a label and it kind of just, it's suddenly last year just grew. Went, whoop. So it was fun.
What advice would you give to fellow musicians struggling in the industry, which is most people, listening to this on Music Stories? What general advice quickly would you give to people listening about, getting it together and touring and writing? What general advice could you give them?
Well, thanks, Tony. First of all, it's an honor. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And it's an honor to be on Tony Lloyd's show. I think that I think that if you really know what you want to say with a song, then you go into the studio. If you don't, go back and start again. And if you write for yourself, everyone will follow. Don't write for an audience. Just write music that you like and then go and record it nicely. Get a local gig after that. Just chat to some local promoters. Be nice to people. People always remember if you're not. And I've failed on that front before. You know, we've all made mistakes. And then if you're lucky, you can get a fan base. Keep in touch with your fans. Get a t-shirt, put out a track, see what happens.
Awesome.
Have a job on the side. Definitely have a job on the side. Otherwise you go crazy.
Well, that's, I just asked for one quick piece of advice and you gave a whole lesson there, which is fantastic. That's really good. That's amazing.
It's not so far away from where I am.
Superb. Johnny, thank you very much. Good luck with the band, The Horn, and your single Addicted to Love, which we played a little snippet of. We'll put your website, The Horn Band, I think it is, isn't it, on the text with this episode of Music Stories. And thanks again for talking to me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Tony.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.